The following is a talk given at Spiritual Unity Conference by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 22, 2007, in Vail, Colorado, USA.
And we have His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikara. He's a world traveling preacher for the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. All right, the forum for the event, I hand it out to you as we'll start off. Each speaker will give a 15-minute or so lecture, just simply how their faith enriches the self, enriches the community, and enriches the world. And then if you have any specific questions, we'll ask, we'll give to that speaker. And then at the end, we're going to open it up to a roundtable discussion between the guests and the audience, and you can ask your questions or comments directly to any speaker. Okay, so first, I'd like to again introduce His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikara. And he is, again, a world-traveling preacher for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He has an email site. It is called,
www.backtohome.com.
Backtohome.com. He has over 6,500 people enrolled in his self-realization course in over 100 countries around the world. So if we could give it a warm round of applause.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So, ladies and gentlemen, and Andrew, thank you very much for coming tonight. This is the most important topic, actually. In the present time, the world is being plunged into an ever more chaotic situation. Actually, what we're seeing now on this planet, 10 years ago, we couldn't have dreamt that these things would be happening now. So, now, more than ever before, there is a burning need to bring about actual unity on this planet. Of course, this idea was also there with the League of Nations, which proved to be a failure. World War II came. The idea is also there with the United Nations. But the problem was, in such attempts, they did not make God the center. And we've just seen also recently in the European Union, they want to bring some unity and cooperation. But nowhere do you find anything about God in their charter. It is a completely godless attempt to bring about unity. Actually, I was invited to speak on global conflict resolution at the University of Texas, but I'd already been invited for this one, so I came here instead. But one of my disciples is speaking at this very minute at the University of Texas on global conflict resolution. This actually is the most important topic right now in terms of global relations. Of course, it really comes down to the individual level, and I'm going to explain that tonight. That's actually good news, because that empowers us to do something about it. There's that popular bumper sticker, you know, think globally and act locally. That actually works in this connection. The basic principle is that we're all coming from one common source. The theistic person, he understands this is God. But even the atheistic scientist, he's understanding there is an origin from which everything is coming. So the idea of a common origin is a common idea both amongst the theists and the atheists. And the actual solution to bring true unity is that each and every individual person needs to get back in a state of harmony with that origin from which he or she has come, you see. And we have to reharmonize ourselves with our source. At the present moment, we are seeing so much conflict throughout the world because we are out of sync with our source. I will give a graphic example. Just imagine there is a pond of water. I throw my rock in the pond. You throw your rock in the pond. From each rock, a concentric circles of ripples come out. But then at a certain point, those ripples, they clash with each other. You see? It's interesting, the Sanskrit word for conflict is klesha, which is very similar to our English word clash. But anyway, how will we have a pond? The pond is a simile for actually the global society. How will we have a pond where there's no clashing waves, where the ripples aren't clashing with each other, you see? This is something the leaders really need to get a proper understanding of. If this understanding can be there amongst the leaders, this will indeed solve all the problems of the world, individually and collectively. The simple solution is this. It's common sense. If I throw my rock in the same spot that you throw your rock and you throw your rock and everyone throws their rock in exactly the same spot, all the ripples are in harmony with each other. It becomes big wave. There's no conflicting waves, you see. So the actual solution to bring about peace, both individually and collectively, is that we find that common central point. That is our origin. That is the Supreme Person. Now some people will say, but no, there's an origin, but it's not a person, you see. But we have to consider, is that a valid philosophical understanding? Of course, according to Scripture, it's not valid because God is described as a person. But how many people accept the authority of Scripture? Scripture, actual bona fide Scripture, can be verified by logical analysis also. Can be reconfirmed by logic. If we consider this, that this example, just say every day I was bringing you 1 kilo of gold. Instead of the milkman coming, the gold man comes every day. He gives you 1 kilo of gold. That would be very nice. You become very wealthy. 1 kilo of gold every day, you become rich man very quickly. But one day your curiosity got the best of you. You said, where are you getting all of this gold? I mean, this is wonderful, but you know, I didn't know there was any gold mine that could yield this much gold. Where is this gold mine you're getting all this gold from? Well, I have a gold mine, but there's no gold in it. Would you believe that? That there's a goldless gold mine? Of course, there could be, but it wouldn't be yielding any more gold. And, you know, there are some dried up gold mines here in Colorado. They don't mine them anymore. But But a kilo of gold coming out every day, and there must be some gold in that mine, you see. So again, this is a simile to understand. If so many persons are coming out of that original source of all existence, then how can that original source of existence be impersonal? Of course, the impersonal aspect can be there. Every person has his impersonal aspect, you see. But impersons don't have their personal aspect, you see. So ultimately, we have to understand that there must be a person behind all of this. So our relationship with that person, that, just like in any relationships we have in this world, you see, how do you have peace? You have to have a loving relationship with your spouse, your friend, your family members, your neighbors, you see. If there's no loving relationship, there's no peace. So we need to have a loving relationship with that original person. That will bring about actual conflict resolution. That will bring true unity. Now, but then again, people say, but that's no good what you're saying, because how many wars are fought in the name of religion? You see? But let me ask you this. How many different names are there for the sun in the languages of the world? There are hundreds of names for the sun. But how many suns are there? Is there a different sun for each country? America has one sun. In Mexico, they have a different one, El Sol. In India, they have another one, Surya. No, it's only one sun. It's the same sun with different names according to different languages. That's all. So God is one. Whether I call him Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, Buddha, Christ, Allah, whatever I may say. If I am speaking of that original person from whom everything has come, that original father of all living beings, you see, then there is an actual position of unity. To say that God has only one name would be rather narrow-minded. I mean, my father, you know, he had more than one name. My mother called him one thing. I called him something else. His boss called him something else. His old college buddies called him something else. You see? If he had been an ordinary man, my father, of course, I didn't think, for me, he was very special. You know, everyone's father is very special. But by ordinary calculation, he's considered an ordinary man. And he had so many different names according to different relationships. But yet he was one person. So if even a, quote, ordinary person, unquote, can have so many different names, then why God can have many different names? So this sort of understanding needs to be there around the world. We don't need to blow each other up over different names for God. It doesn't make sense. You see? God is actually the unifying principle. And if we are using God as a divisive principle, then we're not really God conscious. It's a pseudo God consciousness or a shadow God consciousness. Or they, in Sanskrit language, is called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Actual religion is that which brings one back into connection with one's original source of existence. That is the Milmani religion. It comes from the Latin word religio. Religio, just like that word is also come into English, ligament. You see, it is a connecting, something that's, it's a connecting item, a ligament. So, to relig, to reconnect, that is Milmani religion. To reconnect yourself with your original source. To connect with your eternal, original identity, which exists beyond this temporary body. That is actual religion. So two religious people, whether it doesn't matter, one may be a Christian, one may be a Hindu, one may be a Muslim. If they're actually religious, if they've actually realized God, they've become a true lover of God, they will recognize anyone else who is also a lover of God, not on the basis of designation, but on the basis of the actual symptoms of love of God within the heart which have awakened in that person, you see. So this way we have to understand what is the real meaning of spiritual unity. And in this way we have to understand what will actually bring about lasting peace, happiness, and even prosperity for all people on the face of this planet, you see. Right now there's a few countries where people are prosperous, but there's so many countries all over the world where people are suffering like anything, just to eat. They can hardly even eat, you see. We're worried about getting, you know, we have obesity problem here in America. You know, weight reduction is a big money-making industry. In other countries, that they're just trying to survive, you see. But actually, every country in the whole planet, and even the most depraved areas of the world, every place in this world become peaceful, happy, and prosperous. If we can understand the universal science of God, the universal science of religion, which has actually been taught by every great teacher, by Buddha, by Christ, by Allah, by Moses, by Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya, this is actually the same science has been taught by every great teacher. But in the course of time, we have lost the understanding of the original pure teaching. We've added in this idea of religion is something I use to get what I want. That's not religion. Religion means you do what God wants. What did Christ say? He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, as long as we approach God, well, you know, for our own selfish desires, then we do things like blowing up the World Trade Center, you see. That's not God consciousness. That's selfishness. Actual God consciousness means to become a humble servant of God. That whatever God wants, that is what I want. I am simply his servant, humble servant. So if this can be now, this idea can be introduced throughout the world, we'll see a new era of peace and prosperity that we couldn't even have dreamt would be possible. So I'm traveling all over the world now, practically constantly, lecturing on this science in every corner of the world. And plus on the internet, we have our e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course, again at www.backtohome.com, backtohome.com. So kindly try to be a part of the re-spiritualization of this planet. We're not asking anybody to change religions because that's a false concept. Religion is actually one. We're asking everyone, please be a part. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. I don't want, you know. So be a part of the solution. Reconnect yourself with the Supreme Person and dedicate your life to helping everybody else reconnect themselves with the Supreme Person. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sankarshan. Now we'll open it up. Is anybody questions for Sankarshan before we move on to Reverend Prasad?
Oh, you were looking at the common root of words. I was just wondering on the Krishna consciousness and Christ consciousness, the connection there.
Yes, the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos. And the Greek language actually is derived from Sanskrit ultimately. The Greek king actually, the Greek dynasty goes back to India actually, if you trace it far enough. So in India, sometimes they will say Krishna. When they'll say Krishna, sometimes they'll say Krishna also. It's another way of saying Krishna, Krishna. So whether you say Christ or whether you say Krishna, it's the same principle. Etymologically, they're tied together. Yeah. So if you want to chant Christ, that's fine. We encourage our Christian brothers to chant the name of Christ and do it perfectly. Become totally dedicated to the holy name of Christ. That will bring peace and happiness. If we all try to be the mood of humble servant, that'll bring the peace and happiness.